We bow our heads in word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together, Lord, to meditate upon your word, to praise thy name, O God. We ask you now that you'll be very near to us at this special time of the service, the bringing of the word, Lord, that your word might be glorified, O God, and your name uplifted, because the word might be truly and faithfully preached. Now I pray, Lord, that you'll cause us to say those things that ought to be said and to refrain from those things that ought not to be said. May it be done, Lord, in the Spirit of Jesus Christ to add grace to your people. We ask this for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I think maybe I made a little mistake at volunteering to bring a message this morning because the dinner hour may come a lot quicker than I'm through preaching. So I want to give the cooks warning. I'll get the dinner too early. If you have to leave, you're hungry, you're tired, that's all right. I don't get too tired preaching. It's kind of hard on me at times, but I don't get too tired. So, might be here a while. And the message this morning I feel is very, very important. It's important from my viewpoint. It may not be from yours. I hope it is from your viewpoint also. Also, I may say things that, to what I might call the uninitiated in this doctrine, we would sound very strange. However, don't be alarmed. I find it very difficult to find my way through some messages I believe other people would preach to from the Word of the Lord. So if you feel a little strange at some of the things I say, you don't quite understand them, that's all right. You can attribute to my ignorance. I'm a little uncouth maybe, but you just have to forgive me. And I do my best now to bring you the Word of the Lord on the Holy Spirit in baptism as an individual through the ages and also the Holy Spirit in restoration at the end of the age. And I think this subject ought to be helpful to us. Now, as I say, I feel this is necessary to bring this message on the thought of the baptism with the Holy Ghost in every age, each individual baptized into Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit as restored in the end time age, because I feel amongst us there is a great misunderstanding as to exactly what is transpiring. I'm not amazed at this, because when Brother Branham preached the seals in 1963, it was already impressed upon my mind that the majority of us had made a great mistake in our understanding this subject. So I went to him. This is primarily why the 10th chapter of the book of the Church Ages was written with his approval, because of our discussion. I have a witness to that in Brother Riley, who attends the church in Mesa, Arizona, under Brother Carpenter, in case anyone would like to know more on that subject. Now, Brother Branham spoke on these two thoughts of the Holy Spirit baptizing members into the body of Jesus Christ from the early church age to this age, and also on the Holy Spirit restored at the end time. Now, especially in the church ages, he began bringing this forth, and in subsequent messages did he speak on the Holy Spirit at the time of restoration. And of course, we know by Scripture there is a time of restoration. He taught specifically how the church went to its death in the Dark Ages. You remember that. And then under Luther, a reformation was started with the basic truth of justification. Then the light grew in the Philadelphian age under Wesley, and we have the doctrine adding to justification, which is sanctification. Then the light grew in the Philadelphian age under Wesley, and we have the doctrine adding to justification, which is sanctification. Then, later on in 1906, under the Pentecostals, there came the baptism with the Holy Ghost and specifically restoration of gifts. And then there was just one step to go, and that was right back to Pentecost, right back to the age of the Holy Spirit. Now, he usually talked of restoration coming back to the church in four. Now, you're in your own mind, you may remember Brother Branham spoke often of threes, God doing things in threes, and that's true. And he always taught justification, sanctification, baptism. See, recall that. But go a little further back in your mind, and when he talked about restoration and this end time, it was in fours. See? Justification, sanctification, baptism, restoration. See? So don't forget that. Now, under Pentecost, and I'm not fussing at anybody, and if anyone thinks when I mention names that I'm fussing, it's no different than if a man was selling Roman meal or shredded wheat or popcorn and any... Now, don't think that I'm being sacrilegious when I make this comparison. I just want you to get the picture here because I've got to relate the spiritual to the physical. If you're selling some product, your name's on that product, then I've got a right to talk about that product. Is that right?
Sure.
Now, when it comes to spiritual things, if I mention certain people, a denomination, it's not that I'm fussing at them or, but look, they said it, they wrote it. Is that right?
Yes.
And all right. So don't get anybody fussed up, see. If you want to fuss, you fuss at somebody else. Don't fuss in the house of God and be veiled because I've got a job to do, see? And I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I've got to say it exactly as I see it according to how a vindicated prophet preached it. See? See, I want to tell you something. I was a Presbyterian as a boy. I'm a Canadian by birth. I joined the United Church. I got saved in Independent Pentecost. The last church I pastored was Baptist. So I'm a horse of many colors, so to speak. I don't say I'm Joseph with a coat. I just said a horse of many colors. So, you see, when I speak, also it's by experience. So no one get their feelings hurt, please. I've just got to do this to trace it in line with a prophet who was vindicated. You know, years ago I used to play the horses. You forgive me, won't you? The Lord forgave me for doing it. But I did. And I used to read the paper to see how the men who knew how to line these horses up just right. And I took from the ones that looked the best, you see, on that scanning sheet. And I lost a lot of time. I also won. But you know, there was a vindicated prophet who never lost one. Every time he said, "Thus saith the Lord," it was a winner. You pardon that expression. That sounds kind of crude, but I'm a crude person. And I like to lay just where the world lays. Don't try to dress it up, see. Now, remember, Brother Branham would liken this restoration to a seed that fell into the ground and died. First you saw a shoot come up, which was Luther. Potential restoration and resurrection because the life was there. Did you hear my words? Now you follow carefully these words. They're all on your tapes just as I'm saying them. Then there was formed a shaft with stamens. Now I use the word stamens because Brother Branham didn't use the term, but I prefer it. Stamens. On it to catch the pollen to bring forth the harvest. What's the harvest? Resurrection. Right? Alright? But this was not it either. Then the chaff of Pentecostalism formed. And it looked like the real thing, but wasn't. Now, just let me put my little paper here for a note, and just let me catch your attention here in the book of Mark, the fourth chapter. You're so sweet and nice this morning, I feel better already talking, because this subject was beginning to bother me. Now, listen. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and knoweth not how, he knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." In other words, God has put something into cycle which you'd better believe is going to take place. Just like this. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear, but when the fruit is brought forth immediately, when God's program is finished, immediately there'll be a harvest. There'll be no time to wait, because he puts in the sickle, the harvest is come. Now here it says, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." Now the literal translation is far superior, and I'll do my best to just sort of give it to you, because I haven't caught it down. It says, "First the blade, after that the covering for the grain, then the grain in its covering." There's got to be a covering and something for the grain to come into and out of. See, now that's Bible. See, just checking and showing you that Brother Branham never missed one spot in the Word. Check it by any student you want. Not knowing one bit of the Greek, he even read the Bible with the proper accent. Dave Momlis, my good buddy, is a Greek by birth, and he's a classical Greek by student. Many, many years. And he tells me there is no punctuation in the Greek except the upper and lower case letters. And the words are inflected. Well, they're not inflected, they're emphasized. So that you know how to say the word by the rise and fall of your voice indicated by the little marks over the Greek words and syllables. And he said to his dismay, he almost fell out of the chair when he heard a man with broken English and no education, not knowing one word in the Greek, reading from the English translation exactly how the voice is to rise and fall in the Greek as he followed his Greek New Testament. And that man never made one mistake, even in the vernacular. Get your books. I challenge you. I've got them. I'm not a Greek student, but I've got a library, the finest scholars in America. And I'm always looking for more. Just didn't make a mistake, see? Now, so he taught what we know, the grain forming in the chaff. Then into the chaff comes the identical grain that went down. Certainly. What else? If I plant oats, do I get oats or do I get wheat? Once that happened, we knew that restoration and right back to originality and then the resurrection. Now, if you are wondering about identical grain coming back in the harvest, we can stop wondering. We saw the identical ministry of Jesus come back in the prophet, and that proved Jesus was back by the Son of Man ministry, by the Spirit with the bride. Now watch the language. So that we had to be in restoration and next the resurrection. See? See, when you're back to original, where is there to go? There's no place to go but up. See? Because remember, the grain of wheat had to fall in the ground and die. And it abides alone except it die. See? And this is what we saw in the church. Now, we are right back to the Holy Ghost age because it was the Holy Ghost in the flesh of Jesus that did the works. And He is the original seed. And now in human flesh, once more by His Spirit, He revealed Himself as the Son of Man, identifying Himself amongst us. So we know that restoration, then resurrection, then the catching away are here. See? That's right. Now look at it this way. There are three steps that an individual goes through to become one with or a part of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say one with because He's the joint Lord is one Spirit. Part of because the bride is His body, which is Christ. Is that right? So if my language is correct, I say again, there are three steps that the individual goes through to become a part or one with Jesus, which is justification, sanctification, then the baptism, one more step to go, resurrection. See, checks out. That is the way one dead end has to go. The same applies to the bride that fell. She fell, right? In the first age, she had fallen from her first love. She was gone, but God made a covenant with her, and now He brings her back by the same route anyone has to come, justification, sanctification, baptism, restoration, to pick her up. But the very life of God poured into and manifested in the bride will complete the cycle. As Christ lived, died, and rose, so the church goes into the identical cycle because she is Christ reproduced. Now that's awfully strange doctrine. Nobody but us believes that little fanatical statement. But I challenge you, what about those dark ages? She died. She had a prophetess leading her, which was Jezebel. And we've come right back to a Jezebel religion in America and the world. So we've had Jezebel a long, long time. Now, I want to go deeper into this thought and of the two phases which we're discussing. But we're going to talk now from the Scripture on the baptism with the Holy Ghost per the individual believer who wishes to be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ and become one in union with Him by the Spirit. To do so, let us begin reading in John chapter 7, 37 to 39. I'll go back to my preamble in a minute, in several minutes, hour and a half. There's several minutes. Verse 37 to 39, John 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, I didn't read what was in there, did I? It says, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said.
Amen.
What if you don't believe on Him the way the Scripture says?
Amen.
Supposing there's one God and you've got three. Supposing there's one God and you've got one. Supposing every place in the Holy Word of God is everybody's baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you just pull your nose up and say, well, I'm going to get baptized according to Matthew 28. I'm going to go Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Can you say you've got eternal life apart from these Scriptures? I say no. I say if you believe any other way than the Scripture teaches, you cannot make the rapture. You say yes. We'll find out. You say, they are getting mean. I am not mean. I said last night, and I explained at 30, I go home many a time after preaching feeling dirty. You say, why should you feel dirty? Just be, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, I feel clean. You better watch how clean you feel and for what reason. I know why the prophet laid awake at night, night after night, and couldn't sleep. You preach this word the way he preached, the way he was vindicated, you won't sleep either. Because it makes you like you're condemning people. I'm not condemning anybody. I wish I could go home like you folk home and not have to preach anymore. I'd like it. Just listen to tapes and just get a job and be happy. I'd like that. That'd be good. But as the Scripture says, some don't even believe that Scripture. Well, I don't think that's all the Word of God. But they claim eternal life. Makes a difference, doesn't it? It's out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not stagnant, dead water creeds and dogma denominations. Not what somebody wrote. And then stands up in the church today to champion premarital intercourse and everything else and run the whole gamut of it. Damnable licentiousness and then call themselves a child of God when they branded themselves a child of hell for throwing away this book and then some of you will listen to them. Then you'll criticize someone who'll stand up and do his best to preach what God said. Huh? Time somebody learned a few lessons. But this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him according to the Scripture should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. According to John the Baptist, Jesus was supposed to baptize with the Holy Ghost, for he said, There cometh one after me who is greater than me. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's true. But notice, Jesus explains when this will be. He said, I can't give you the Holy Ghost now, but I will certainly do it. And he said, I've got to die first. The only way I can give you the Holy Ghost is to die. He must die in order to fill the believer with the Holy Ghost. For his own life was the Holy Spirit. And it must be, his life must be released by his death in order for that life to come back upon the believer and give him eternal life. This is why Brother Branham taught that when you, in the Old Testament, you put your hand upon the animal's head and identified yourself with that sacrifice, the life of the animal went as a propitiation, but being animal life, it could not come back upon the believer, absolving him from sin forever and making him righteous with the life of Christ. It would take the life of God itself to come back upon the believer. So Jesus must die and shed his life. And when the blood was shed, the life went. And he said, Into thy hands, O God, I commend my spirit. And it was this spirit that came back upon the believer. It is this life, listen to me, it is this life coming back upon the believer that identifies him with Jesus. Because in Romans 8 and 9, according to the Scripture, it says, Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What is the identification this morning? To be identified with Jesus Christ is to have his Spirit.
Amen.
Do you know that anybody can identify with Jesus? They can, and they do it foolishly. Anybody can. Mohammedans can. They can say, well, he's a great prophet. Certainly I believe in Jesus. But I don't see many people who follow him got what he had. How'd they identify? I can see a Jew identifying with Jesus. And he said he was a great prophet. We made a mistake when we destroyed him. Our forefathers were wrong. I can see Christian Science identifying with him. They say that he was not born of a virgin. They say he was merely a man developed upon earth to the highest status of spirituality. They identify with him. I see Unity identifies with him. Unity and Unitarianism, they all identify in their way. I can see miracles and signs and wonders done in Christian Science and Unity, even denying the very blood of Jesus Christ, although they identify in the human form of him. But there's only one way that God will identify with you, and that is by the Holy Ghost. You can identify this morning all you want. I can identify all I want. And then some of you say you haven't got the Holy Ghost. You'll say it blatantly to believe this message. And you've identified? You have, but where have you identified? God has not approved you because you've disavowed him. Must I speak rough at these times? I've never cried this way except the Holy Spirit impelled me. Where do you stand? Denying the very thing you claim to stand for and then deny? Is this a rich man with money in his pocket while he sees a beggar and says, I'm sorry, sir, I have no money? Is this wanton intellectualism? Or some other type of wanton infidelity? Prove it by yourself and your own thoughts. Anybody can identify with God. Anybody can identify with this message. Oh, it's not hard to identify. Status symbols all over the country. If I can get in this club, I'm fine. No, my brother, my sister, but how have we been identified by Holy Ghost baptism? This is what counts. Now, that is what Brother Branham brought up when he preached the token. The lamb was brought up and kept for 2 weeks and then slain by the believer, and the blood struck upon the doorpost and lintel, identifying the believer with the sacrifice. He did it, identifying. Now listen, when that blood dried, and the death angel came by, it was the blood that identified the believer with life. You know, where is that life? It's in the Holy Ghost. Then if you have life, do you have the Holy Ghost? If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, how could you have life? The dried blood was a token, a sign. It signified that the price of a life was given. That's what Brother Branham called the chemistry of the blood. He meant chemical. Just in case you wonder, it's just a little slip of the tongue. The chemicals of the blood, the dried chemicals there. Another place he did use the word chemical. Putting them together. The cost had been met. What a peculiar feeling must have been in the air when Moses went down to the people in Egypt, that's the Israelites, and he came with God's message. I will spare your life and take you out if you slay the lamb and strike the blood on your doorpost. Now, such a thing was never heard of. No. Now, such a thing that they slay a lamb, that was heard of. Oh, yeah. Abraham slew lambs. Sure, they knew about slaying of animals for blood sacrifice. Why? Abel did. Now, how could you be a descendant of Abel to election, and then Abraham the faith, and he not identify with the original sacrifice of blood? But who ever heard of putting that blood upon a doorpost? What if there should be an end-time message where God said, take this word and take this and that and put it in a certain place? Oh, horrors forbid, because I've heard all these years, we don't do it. And as Brother Branham said, many a man could come and say, now, just a minute, Moses, we've been circumcised. Ah, we're under a covenant of circumcision. And I've got the records. All of our forefathers were circumcised. That's the sign to us. This is the exact thing. I want to tell you, that's our covenant. He said, you're just as lost can be, whether you've got the circumcision or not, because the blood must be applied upon the doorpost. And today, it is the same. It is Christ or perish. For without the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, you are none of His. Unless you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, you have no life in you. So, Brother Vail, I got my life at another place. The Bible doesn't say so. You believe, but apart from Scripture. Out of your belly can flow no living waters. Out of mine can flow no living waters. You wonder why we had a prophet the end time? Brother, sister, we needed one.
Amen.
It is not enough to claim you believe, or how many scriptures you can quote, although that is commendable. It is only enough when the token, the life, has been applied. Okay. I've been a church membership for years. Listen, brother, sister, don't you realize when you join the average church, you can be baptized into that fellowship, claiming to have eternal life, and even take the Lord's Supper, which you dare not take apart from having the Holy Ghost? You can do that? And you can do it at such a young age you won't even know what you're doing? And then stand upon it that your parents were good people and lovely and kind? Listen, don't be fooled. That's not what the Scripture says. Don't write your own book of rules. God's not going to back up even your prayers. Your brother Bill, I prayed and fasted, and I prayed for hours and hours. Look, he said, he tells us that he exalts his word above his name, and every prayer that you pray is in Jesus' name. That's his name. And if he exalts his word above that name, then you've got no prayer unless you offer back to God his word. Because he'll only stand behind his word to perform it, not your prayers and mine. Not our sincerity. It's according to the word that the Lord gives us. Now, many people talk of their wonderful experiences in God. That's good. I'm all for it. But if there is still that cry in the heart, the uncertainty, the assurance that's missing, and there is that tug to be born over again, then, brother, sister, something's wrong. Because if you're born again, that ought to settle it. The baptism with the Holy Ghost should do what God says. There ought not to be that. Now, let me say here, as Brother Branham did, when he preached on desperation, which was the evening of the morning that he preached on the token, he said that when a preacher preaches a message on redemption, he talks as if everybody in the audience, I say he talks or preaches, as though everybody in that audience was without redemption, because he doesn't know who is there who needs it. So therefore he must give a sermon and then cast his net. This is how he said he preached the token on that memorable morning when he laid it so straight, that he had to preach it as though nobody had it, in order that all, if there should be one or two or some lacking, that they might receive it. And so as I speak today, I can do nothing but to follow in those gracious footsteps. For I have no way of knowing who is filled with the Holy Ghost. But I know this for sure, according to the Bible, the Scripture, if you are His seed, you will not only desire to be filled with His Spirit, but you shall indeed be filled with His Spirit, because it is guaranteed for you. In the book of Isaiah chapter 44, God said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon thy seed. To whom was He speaking? It was to Jeshurun. And who is Jeshurun? The upright. And who is upright? There is only one upright or righteous one, and that is Jesus. That is God. For He Himself said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. He was saying, are you calling me God? And they said, heaven forbid now. No, we wouldn't do that. Oh, how easy to destroy yourself. By your words you're justified, and by your words you are condemned. There is one upright, that is God. And He said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon that seed. The same seed as Jesus is heir to the Spirit of God. Notice over here in Matthew, the third chapter, in order to back up our contention by the Word of God. Matthew 3:16-17, and Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightly out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Did the Holy Spirit descending on Him make Him a son, or was He already the Son? He was already the Son. For he was born unto us. The child is born unto us. The Son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, so on. Mighty Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Now look over in Hebrews, the second chapter. Now watch this, because we don't make mistakes on this word. If I made a mistake up here, I'd be guilty before God. And I'm not making a mistake because I've got Scripture after Scripture to prove it. Now listen, in the 11th verse, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one source. Who does the sanctifying? See, Jesus. What source is he of? God. Then what source are they of who are sanctified with him? Of God. For this cause he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren. But you've got to come out of the same source.
Amen.
See? It's the same source. Now let's go to Galatians, the fourth chapter. You'll find this in the church ages. Written up after hours and hours of discussion to get it exactly right. Get the fourth to sixth verses, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of, it doesn't say the woman conceived him as though it was a human relationship, was made of a woman, made under the law. Notice the difference there? Adam, the first, Jesus, the last, both made, both created. This is why it wasn't the woman's egg fertilized by the Holy Ghost. It was God creating the egg and the sperm. But to allow man to have a part in redemption, bringing that son by the woman who became an incubator. Now where's your mother of God? And your queen of heaven. And yet organizations are going back to the Roman Catholics. And they've done it in Ohio. That's the state I'm from now. The two great groups marched down the street and met and shook hands. How can you do that and claim you're of God? You say, Brother Bale, we're showing love. Is that love? Is that love to die? To leave God? Is that love? I don't see it as love. Don't you ever smack your children? Because you're mean and vile, or because you love? I think the time I really whipped my kids is when I really loved them. It had to stop somewhere for their own good. That's what God does with us. All right, listen. Made under the law, made a woman, to redeem, that's to buy back, them that run the law, that we might receive the adoption. Doesn't say now to make you sons, it says the placing the son. How can you place a son unless you've got a son to place? And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Our Father, Our Father. Now, see, God gives the Spirit to his seed. It's the guarantee he will do it. Now, how can anyone claim that he is the Son of God unless God has identified him by putting the Spirit of his Son in him? Now, on one side, this can cause fear. On the other side, it can cause great joy. Because, you see, you don't need to worry about all Pentecostal emotion then, and how you feel and this and that. You've got a guarantee that God will do it. See, Jesus himself is the Son of God, and he is called the beginning of the creation of God. God creating himself in the form of human flesh, which makes him the Son of God. How can we claim to be a part of that body, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, unless we have the same Spirit indwelling us that made Jesus' body, the tabernacle of God, and now making us the building of God here on earth. God creating himself in human flesh, the new creation. He's doing it. You don't think he will? Brother, sister, listen. The fact that you have the Holy Spirit, if you have, and you go to that grave and die and go back to the gases, there has been the Holy Ghost seal upon every cell of your body. And that Holy Ghost upon every cell will bring that same body up changed. There's your new creation. Yes, sir. I care not how clean a man lives, although he must live clean. and how he praises God, though he must praise God, and how close he tries to live to, you know, his concept of purity and justice, all these things, and so he should. If he denies the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and even quotes Scripture all day long and all night in his sleep, he is not a son of God. Now remember, we have just proven by Scripture that it is sons that God fills with His Spirit. This is not strange, for who but a son has his father's life in him? Now notice, it is this very truth that men err in when they fail to see election. I'm throwing that in as a thought here. When you fail to see election, then you believe, as a modern theologian, in total depravity, which is a lie. All men are not totally depraved, and neither are they all reprobate, because the Bible categorically states, and remember, you've got to believe by the Word to prove, to get the Holy Ghost, and you'll stay with the Word if you've got the Holy Ghost. The Word teaches we are sheep, not dogs and hogs. Sheep led astray. And redemption is to buy back the original possession. We are fallen sons. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost places you back as a redeemed one. Guaranteed of your eternal life. This is why Brother Branham spoke on the lamb and the dove. Watch his words or you'll feel condemned. I've read and heard many a sermon and felt, oh my, I'm not in that group. But read over carefully how he said it and you'll find he wasn't saying what you said. He said, the dove fell upon the lamb. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb and the Holy Ghost came down as a dove. He said that spirit would have taken its flight had it fallen upon a wolf. Or a hog. Or a dog. Right. But it came and stayed because it was a sheep. This is my beloved son. And he placed him by the Holy Spirit before the world.
Amen.
Have you been placed merely by a church ordinance or shaking somebody's hand? That's nice, but that won't do it. That's like an incubator baby, so to speak. And I don't mean now a little child taken out of an incubator and put there because you're premature. I mean an entire incubator test tube type. Some type of amorphous mess. Not a properly delineated child. The dove and the lamb. How could God's Spirit come upon anything but a lamb? How clear cut the Word of God. When fallen sons at Pentecost were cut to the heart, remember, they alone would be cut. And they screamed, men and brethren, what must we do? Was not Peter's answer, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He never told them to kneel at an altar and get saved and get born again, and then be baptized as an answer of a good conscience toward God, which would testify to the fact that now, since they are sons by rebirth, they could get the Holy Ghost. Show me where the Bible says that. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, Peter never gave an altar call. He gave a water call. And why do we give altar calls? Now, I know you can frown and say, well, we've done it. So, does that make you right? Some of you committed adultery. Does that make it right? Say, Brother Vader, you're getting crude. You bet I'm going to be crude and knife it down the line because that's spiritual adultery. Not what we think. Say, well, is it wrong since I went to an altar? Well, God can forgive anything. He said, blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. And I'm not being facetious. It's not as though he particularly needs your forgiveness for it. But you know something? Did you put your faith in the step that you took, or did you put it all in Jesus, according to the Word? You say, Brother Bill, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. I talked to a man several years ago when I was pastoring, and I said, Brother, when were you born again? And he said, "Brother, I went to the altar 20 years ago. I said, I didn't ask you then." That altar take the place of Jesus? It does in many cases, but it wasn't meant to. Repent and be baptized. Go to the water, and you shall receive the gift. If you are a son, it's for you. You say, "What if I wasn't a son?" And it wouldn't be for you. Neither was it for Simon the sorcerer. It's for sons. Now, the Bible doesn't say what many people say it says, or they try to make it say. They want to make you think that it is at repentance that you get the Spirit of God, and water testifies to it that now that you are a son, you have eternal life. But it didn't say that in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. Quoting from Philip's momentary sojourn down there in Samaria. Listen to what it says in these few verses. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, and they were baptized, both men and women, and Simon himself believed also, and when he," notice, "he believed, and he was baptized, he continued with Philip." He stood her hanging around. He said, "This is so good." There's something real there. "And wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent of them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." In other words, he wanted to organize it right there. And they said, "I'm sorry, you never got to first base." Or past first base, let me put it that way. He said, "Yes, you believed, and it's true. And well might you believe. And you were baptized, and well might you be. But you failed here, because there's where you left the word. You wouldn't stay with that word. When were the things of God ever ordained through men's hands in organization and channels of money? Show me one time where Paul took up an offering, except he told them how to give tithe. And that is a religious part of our service. We take tithe for the livelihood of the ministry. Offerings are allowable for buildings and upkeeps. But where do you get great money programs? God sends men full of the Holy Ghost out. This has been his way of doing it, not what man says. I've said before, if it was a money program, then God made a mistake by giving us the Holy Ghost. Why not a piece of gold 4 miles wide and 20 miles high? Why do people get mixed up on their teaching that they believe this way? It's because they fail to see the Scripture as it is written. As in Acts 1 and 8, they read it, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." This is correct. But also notice over here, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and in verse 13, it specifically states here, "By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." According to 1 Corinthians 12, they refer this as the new birth, wherein we are joined to the Lord by this rebirth. Then they say, "You still have not got the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You must abide by Acts 1 and 8. It is after you are born again that you receive power. They take Matthew 10 and 1. And Mark 16, 17, 18. And they separate them from the fact that you are to believe unto the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And when you have that baptism with the Holy Ghost, you have it all. Because many people are justified. They repent and God will grant a remission. And then they go on and seek the Lord and they clean their lives up and they're sanctified. And they say, "Now look at that person. He lives a fine, godly life. He has attested to the fact that Jesus is his Savior. Don't tell me he hasn't got the Holy Ghost." I won't tell you anything. The Word of God done told you. The Word of God's already told you. Dear God, you were justified, you were sanctified, but you didn't go on to eternal life. I'm not saying that. That's the Bible saying. They stay with the Word of God. Notice, they declare there are two times for believing. Believing unto eternal life and believing to be filled with the Spirit of God. They make the Spirit of Jesus life eternal. And the Holy Spirit, whom they describe as the third person of the Trinity, the endowment of power. If the doctrine of the Trinity is correct, then there could be some sense in teaching this. I don't see that. It is on this basis they teach John 20, 21 to 23. Let's read it. They say the Greek aorist tense makes it imperative that they receive the Holy Ghost. Because when you give that, it's a command, and it must be done now. They say there's only one place in the Bible where it didn't function. And that's when Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up. And they couldn't do it at that minute. Because, you see, it was something for the future. What about if this was for the future? Now where are your Greek laws gone to? The Bible categorically states the Holy Ghost only fell at Pentecost. Tells you how he was given. It was after this. Now listen, if they received the Holy Ghost then, if this was the Spirit of Jesus, and the third person of the Trinity, as they say, which I don't say, was to fall at Pentecost and do them with power, then how come that before Pentecost they did not remit people's sins? It was only at Pentecost they remitted sins. How did they remit them? They said, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be thereby baptized. Having repented, you'll be free of your sins. And anyway, this one, the Greek says their sins having been previously remitted. That's right. The sins were remitted. I can remit anybody's sins this morning. Absolutely. If they've been remitted already by Jesus Christ. And you accept Calvary. You accept the blood. And you accept the life. You accept your believing on grounds of the Word. And you say, I'll take all of that. I want God in my life. I want eternal life. I want the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. I want it all. Whatever God has, I want. But I'm a sinner. I can remit your sins by just giving you that word. Say, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As Brother Branham said, do it the Bible way. This is true. Now, but there is only one Spirit, and that is the Spirit of Jesus to come back upon the believer to manifest according to the Word that it is both life and power. He that hath the Son hath life. And there's not two kinds. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. It is receiving the Spirit of Jesus Christ by the rebirth that is your empowerment, because that is your life. It is the same as when you were born. Did you need an extra life to come along to pep up the life you had? Not at all. Humanly speaking, that would be ridiculous. Either you had it or you didn't have it. See? What about the way you were born with your genes and those traits and those other intrinsic factors? Would you like to become an artist? Don't even try if it's not in your genes. Oh, you can mess around. Even I can do that. But I'm so sloppy, I paint on the ceiling is paint on the floor, and paint on the walls is paint on me. My wife knows. She always tries to make me clean up and wear dirtier clothes and move the furniture. I say, forget it. Just paint all over the furniture. Just with Jesus the same way. When you receive his life, you either got it or you haven't got it. Either you got the power or you haven't got it. You weren't born again at that altar, and then came on, and finally got the Holy Ghost way down the line. No, there's no Bible for it. Now, I hope you understand how terrible it is to wrest the Scripture by misinterpretation. See what a curse falls upon those who teach that rebirth and the baptism are not the same thing. If Satan can delude the person who has repented and even been sanctified into thinking that he is already reborn of the Spirit, then he is lost as lost can be, and without God in this world, and can only hope to come up in the second resurrection and be judged according to works and not grace. Certainly, and you say, my, look how the devil tricks people. Every preacher in every pulpit ought to issue the clarion call as often as he can, like Paul of old did.
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If you haven't, what were you believing unto? They said unto John's baptism. They said, hold it. That's been fulfilled. Now listen, when the Word of God is fulfilled, it passes away. For the Bible said there's not one word will pass away till it's been fulfilled. And you cannot be walking in a fulfilled word. Paul said, hold it, that's finished. Now you're going to what that word of John indicated, which was Jesus. And you must be baptized in his name. And they laid hands on it, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's what's in effect today. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't received him, unto what have you been believing? Someone has led you astray. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is the cardinal doctrine in the Word, because he, the Spirit, is life. And Jesus came to bring life. And this is it. Not only now, I've talked about identification, not only now does the Holy Spirit fall upon sons, placing them as such and God identifying them as sons, but also, notice, the Holy Spirit is given to the believer as the assurance that since he has been filled with the Holy Ghost, he is never in any danger of losing his eternal life. In the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter and verse 40, it says, grieve not the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Now, the day of redemption. What is the day of redemption? When God takes your body out of the ground and redeems it as well as he's already redeemed your soul and spirit. That's right. So, you're sealed. That's your assurance. Look at the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Verses 33 to 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who is he making intercession for? The brethren. You say, no, I believe intercession is for the sinner. Oh, no, it's not. Mediation is for the sinner. Intercession is when you get in. Mediation brings you in, intercession holds you in. Look it up, brother, sister. Look it up. See, not just what we think, it's what we know. I'm tired of what people think. We're past the thinking stage. We're in the knowing stage. See? Now, also notice, over here in 1 John, that this epistle, of course, and this is the 3rd chapter, and over here, it's in verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, and his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Who seed? God's seed. God, over here in the book of Romans, which I just read you, explained your sealing of the Holy Ghost when you have been dynamically shown that you are a son of God. It says, who dares lay any charge to God's elect? Who dare, says Dr. Wayne, I like his liberal translation, who dare arraign me in God's court? Who dares to even speak against me and put him on the stand? Why, he said it is that God's elect. It is God that justifies. Now, how does God justify? He declares righteous the ungodly. Declares him righteous. Now, who's going to go against thus saith the Lord? Thus saith the Lord, that man's righteous. David with his sin, thus saith the Lord, he's my righteous servant. How are you going to do it? You can't do it. Notice he also said, he said, here, who is he that condemneth? Who condemns me to death? That's the word. Who tells me I'm going to die? It is Christ that already died. Yea, risen, rather, even at the right hand of God, making intercession. What if you had a lawyer? And that lawyer was hired to defend you, and he turned on you in court. You know what the judge would do? The judge would say, put him out, and never let him be in this court again. Strip him of his favors. If Christ ever turned on one elect. That too much for some of you folk a little legal? Or is it just too good to believe so the devil's got us all fooled again this morning? Huh? I don't want to be sarcastic, but I just know what's going on in the human heart. I think I'm one. I'm a human too. I hope so. See, now listen. Watch what it says
in the Bible. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Did your spirit make his dirty? It could, you know, if you believe a certain way. Or did he make your spirit one with his? Now there's your baptism with the Holy Ghost. There you are baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. There you are with the full evidence and all that God has for you, brother, sister. All right, let's notice also, the baptism with the Holy Ghost is your guarantee of the resurrection. Over here in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now, what raised up Jesus? God. What dwelt in Christ? God. For God was in Christ. So therefore, if that Spirit that was in him and raised him up, that body, is in you, that one shall quicken your mortal body by that Spirit, that same Spirit that dwells in you. There is your guarantee of the resurrection. Now notice right here, brother, sister, I've got to talk to you people that believe this message. I get a little worried because I hear too many things about this great ministry that's coming. Now, I'm not against great ministry. I hope a lot of them come. I'm not banking on it. But what I'm afraid of, there's too many people here this morning, maybe, and around the land who ought to be here, or at least ought to have a little of this word, as the prophet delivered, are believing that this great, 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 great thing is coming to make this great, great, great people fly away. And the prophet said there is no N-O difference whether you go to the grave or are walking here when you're taken. I would just ask any of you here this morning, are you looking for something that William Branham missed? Oh, brother, perish the thought. This is your guarantee. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God has sealed you into the Lord Jesus Christ eternally and guaranteed that you will come out of that ground.
Amen.
And the devil's going to do his best to try to tell you you haven't got it. As Brother Branham said, when he lays off of you, he's got you. But he said when he's bothering you, shout hallelujah because you're still two jumps ahead of him. All I need is one jump ahead. Because there's just one step between me and the curtain of eternity. So if he bothers me a lot, not boasting, he sure does. Like I know he does you too. It's an awful good sign. See? Now, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, we go back to Acts 2, 37 to 39. Because he that believeth the Scripture said. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, just said. That was enough. Said. Oh, how we wanted Brother Branham to do our own little special brand of miracle. Just like the Pharisees did to Jesus, and now we want the Holy Ghost to come forth as our little office boy to do our own special brand. Said. I don't think he screamed it. He didn't say, I'm so glad you asked me. Took off his coat, did a whirling dervish. Or said, hold till I go to the seminary and get my LLD. I got my master's the other day. I'd like this LLD and PhD. They're all right. But I just want you to see something here. An ignorant fisherman full of the Holy Ghost, God's spokesman, said, and that's all. Now you do what you want. You said repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That'll do it. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
If you're a seed, that's it. Oh, hold it. Don't but me. That's a bad sign. It's a bad sign. He said the promise is unto you. God didn't make a promise to himself. Didn't make it to cows and oxen, horses, pigs, and everything else. He said the promise is to you.
Your children, that Jews and their children, and to all that are far off, that Gentile, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Have you been called? Have you heard His voice? Do you believe the word that is vindicated for your days? Do you know that Jesus said, when they saw my works, they saw both me and my Father and hated us both at the same time when they saw them? What do you believe? It's all Peter said. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. He said, you'll receive the Holy Ghost because the promise is there. It's to you. Now, who'll have the courage this morning if they haven't had it before? Say, I want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I repent of my background. I want the Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Vail, my background is sort of different. You make it a little too simple. Then let's rip this page up. Because these folk, I don't think they're a bunch of ridiculous, chaffy people. It says they gladly received His word and were baptized.
Amen.
And the same day they were added where? To the local First Assembly down there on Front Street? You better believe it wasn't. Added to the 12, to the 120. The members, the first members, the body of Lord Jesus Christ, those simple little creatures said, is that all? He said, that's what the word says. They said, I believe what you say, Peter. I believe it. Baptize me. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Sure, because God said so. Now, how we do it today in the very same way? Well, what am I going to do, Brother Vail? I've tried, I've puzzled, I've wondered. Do what the prophet said. Stay there till you know the token has been applied. Stay there and stay with this word until there is no other desire left. That was my case. Until there is no other demand. I don't want anything else. It is complete yieldedness. Don't you think they weren't cutting 1 minute like that? They were, but in this age of constant teaching and wrong teaching, bickering, fussing, and all the rest of it, people are so confused. I've got to lay down some guidelines for you, as taught by the prophet William Branham. It is complete yieldedness, a bond slave to Christ, for His life cannot come in unless it takes over completely the life that you now live in the flesh. It is to come now. It is not to wait and see how this thing might turn out. It is urgent. It is compelling. I can see no hope for those who are not sure that this is the true word that must be obeyed. There is no hope at Pentecost. Why should there be hope today? If you're torn by what people say and not this simple word, I see no hope. You've got to go as the word has said. Amen. Believe, and then you receive. What will the evidence be? According to desperation, there is no certain evidence. But if you want to know, to tell yourself how you can tell, it's what you were and what you are now in the light of the Word. You say, well, I'm a wonderful person, Brother Vail. I used to be a terrible type of sinner, but I'm a fine person now, and I love people. So do the Hindus. Nothing against the Hindus. Not for 1 minute. No, sir. I said, look, they believe a certain thing. It's in the world. It's not copyrighted. I've got a right to talk about it. As I said a few nights ago, you could take this tape, and 1 million people wanted these tapes at $10 a piece, which no 1 million people want, and nobody will pay a dime for unless you just want to pay the cost. If you should be wanted, I don't think you'll want it. But if you should, that's public domain right now. Anybody can say anything he wants about that and do what he wants with it, except mutilate it. And then try to say I said something different by splicing it and doing so-and-so. So when the people of the world have their religions and they talk about it, and I've been amongst them, I've got a right to say something. Not unkindly, not critically, but comparison I'm showing you. You can have some of the finest people in this world, and they'd make a David look sick, except under certain conditions. And they'd even make Paul look kind of silly the day he had a red hot fight with his precious brother, and they split up. And he wrote the book on love, the 13th chapter. And he said, as much as lieth within you, be at peace all men. But he said, don't let that sun go down upon your wrath. See, Brother Viv, you're making excuses. I am not. If that's the Bible, then that's an excuse. I'm not twisting it. I'm telling you just as it said it. See? Sure, we believe in holy living. Sure, we believe in a godly life and all. But brother, sister, it's that word that counts. Where are they when it comes to the word? Because it's as the scripture hath said. Did you receive as the scripture said? Well, see, Brother Vail, I spoke in tongues. That's the historical account of how he fell. Like when the Philippian jailer got saved, there was an earthquake. That's the historical account. He never ran around saying, folks, the next earthquake, that's the time to do it. Read your scripture. It's the historical account of how he fell. The fire, the wind, the tongues. But the evidence is 1 Corinthians 2 and John 14. That's your doctrine and your truth. See? Now remember, he was given 2,000 years ago. Jesus came back as the Holy Ghost 2,000 years ago. You don't mind me taking time, do you? Now listen, how many people have not heard me explain Ephesians, the 4th chapter, how he came back? Let me see your hand. All right, there's enough here. I'm going to explain it to you. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, to get your Bible. Now listen, carefully. Verse 8. Wherefore, when he, Jesus, ascended, he said, now when he ascended up on high, he, Jesus, led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Then he gave some prophets on. Now listen, verses 9 and 10 are not the same thing said different. It's two different things said. Now watch this. Now he that ascended, who ascended? What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now who is that? That's Jesus, is that right? Now listen, he that descended is also the same that ascended far above all heaven. It says in scripture here, categorically states, that he died and he rose, then he descended. He came back as the Holy Ghost. I said Jesus came back. That's why you've got folks mixed up on the second coming right now. He also came back as the pillar of fire, as the messenger. But he hasn't come back in his bodily form yet to take a bride him, because his feet have got to touch the mount of olives. All right. Now just hold it. I'm not through. Let's go to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. How many thousand times have you read this but never caught it? Same thousand times I read it? Verse 26 of Acts 3. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. He came back. Oh, he came back 2,000 years ago too. You've got a law of second coming, so to speak. He came back as the Word. The Son of Man is revealed by the prophet's ministry. Come on, let's get in our Bible. Not what we think. He came back 2,000 years ago. Jesus did came to the Jews. He came first to them. Says he did. God sent him having raised him up. Is that right? That's the Bible. Then who is the Holy Ghost? Jesus Christ come back. God, one God. He is here to baptize every predestinated son into the body of Christ, and by so doing manifest that the lost son has returned and been identified as the true God. Now this, I'm concluding the portion on the Holy Spirit baptizing individuals into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, manifestly placing you as sons and showing you that you do have eternal life, and you'll come up in that resurrection and be in that bride. Now this is for the elect. The elect will receive. This is for you who believe according to the Scripture. And by the Word of God, we have no right to retain in our minds anything but that Word. As the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. As the Scripture said, bringing every thought into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ, casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Almighty God. Get this Word and believe according to the Word. And if you believe according to that Word, out of your belly must flow rivers of living water. And remember, brother and sister, no one but the elect will believe according to that Word. Won't do it, see. Now, let me hurry on to another portion, which was what I started with. The Holy Spirit in the last church age and His great visitation in the bride, taking her up into resurrection and rapture. Now, here is where we have our problem amongst us. Now, I'm speaking from my heart and how I see it. You do with what you want with it. That's why I said to strangers here, perhaps this would be kind of hard to follow me. I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, this is my first and last time at the meeting speaking. There'll be others speaking, and so this is my time here. There are those who will not say what Brother Branham says. They say the token is yet to come. They say no one has the token. Now, this is not true. In the Bakersfield tape, Billy Paul Crick, three times preached, Jeffersonville, Dallas, and Bakersfield, right? The reason I mentioned him and Brother Borders here concerned also, that's right, three times. All right. Now, the Bakersfield tape, he said the token came 2,000 years ago and is still here. What's he here for? Why bother? Don't call God inefficient when it comes to minding his own business. He's terribly inefficient coming to our business. He's the most inefficient person in the world. So was every prophet. So was every true man of God. He's so inefficient, it's pitiful. You say, Brother Bailey, you defend yourself. Well, show enough. Show enough. I don't mind. But I got the word for it. It's over there in 2 Thessalonians. I won't preach it right now because that's on Laodicea. He encouraged all to receive the token. It is a gift. In the token tape in Jeffersonville, he said, the token was the Holy Ghost. On page 8, page 12, paragraph 8, he said it. He also said it was the rebirth on page 34. He said the token was the Holy Spirit upon the church that they see Christ, page 13. He said on page 51, I want you to receive this token. Most of you have already done it. Sorry to break your bubble. But some of you haven't done it. In Albuquerque, in a businessmen's meeting, he saw the Holy Ghost descend as a cloud of fire and separate itself over several in the meeting. Correct me, Billy Paul, is this right? That's right. And he said they are being filled with the Holy Ghost as at Pentecost by tongues of fire going into them. Oh, I screamed in my heart when I heard it. And too late, instead of being motivated by the Spirit to attend that meeting when I could have been in it, I do believe, I don't know, I might have been busy or something. Oh, too late, I castigated myself, really whipped myself in a penance. What if I'd have been there? But then there were hundreds who were there and didn't mean a thing. I wouldn't want to call the prophet a liar. When a sister went to him and asked, Brother Branham, do I have the Holy Spirit? He took up his Bible and held it in front of him and asked her, do you believe every word in this Bible? No, he didn't mean just you believe that's the Word of God. You know what he meant. He meant, do you really believe this? In other words, the interpretation, all, do you believe this Word? See? And she said, yes. Then he said, then you have the Holy Spirit. Surely, because the Word and the Spirit are one, and your believing makes you one with them. What then did he mean by bringing to our attention in that at the evening time the token was applied and could not be applied before? This is what I started my message on. And now I will finish it as the Lord enables. I think by what you have already heard, you know the answer. There are seven church ages which make up the complete course of the Gentile bride. She started as a virgin of the Word, under the full headship of the Word and the power of the Spirit, Brother Branham called Pentecost, but went into sin and fell until she went into almost utter darkness of the fourth church age, which we know in history as the Dark Ages. She had nothing to commend her to God except a small election, for she had a woman for a prophetess, Jezebel. The church was full of spiritual fornication and spiritism and had sunk to the depths of Satan. God had just one good thing to say to the elect, and it didn't even sound good. Hold fast till I come. Hang on. But God in His foreknowledge had said, I will restore. Now, there's what we're talking about. So in the fifth age, under Luther, he began the restoration by means of reformation. And every student knows that. See, Luther was not a prophet, so he could not restore. Now, what does the prophet have to do? Word. He doesn't bring the Holy Ghost. He doesn't give the Holy Ghost. He doesn't send the Holy Ghost. He doesn't give gifts. He brings the Word, and by the Word sets the church in order.
Amen.
Are we understanding? I hope I didn't yell to get my point across and make you agree, because that's snide. So I'll try to keep my voice down. He was not a prophet, so he could not restore, but he did reform. That started that wheat that had been buried to grow again. Remember, the church typifies Christ, the bride. Remember that, see? Remember, Christ had three pulls. The third he preached in prison, the fourth he came up back on earth. See? Bringing the bride with him, was living at that time, the New Testament old. Dead. Now, that started the wheat to grow again. Then along came more growth. Wesley brought to sanctification, which was holy living. But notice that each age denominated and died, but the life went on. Then came the third stage, see, which was baptism and a Holy Ghost period. Because remember, as Luther taught Word, justification brought justification, is that right? As Wesley taught Word, it brought sanctification. As the Pentecostal went to Word, it brought baptism and restoration of gifts, see. And that this strange thing of restoration of gifts happened in this period. The gifts manifested and fooled many people into believing that the manifestation of gifts was restoration. What people are looking for right now. Say, prove you got the token. I could say a lot of things right here, brother, and do a lot of tracing on this subject. But a public place of worship is no place for. I just stay with the Word. I hope you read between the lines there. It's on tape, so I don't mind who gets this tape. See? Let me show you about restoration before the true baptism. Judas was one of God's 12 that he had chosen. He said, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Wrong translation. It's, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is Diabolus, which is the devil? And the Bible tells you how he became the devil by getting ready to betray the Word. Judas anointed with signs and wonders to even raise the dead. It was necessary. He never got to Pentecost. He was anointed by God. Then the devil actually entered him. Now that's Bible, brother, sister. You never change it. He never got to Pentecost. And so it is the Pentecostal movement. And I'm not excoriating him. I'm not condemning him. I am just telling you what the Word of God says. That's all as I see it. As they see, they do their way. God bless them. I hope I'm blessed to God. I just got to preach it the way I see it. It's our privilege at this time to do it. Now, these gifts came on the scene. See? But as Judas never got to Pentecost with his signs and wonders, but crucified the Son, so at the end time there is another group, the Judas group, with the signs and wonders who crucified the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. After handling the Word and seeing the good things of God in Hebrews 6, which I'll explain in a few minutes, I said the same thing occurs at the end time, just as it was in Judas' day. Let's go to Hebrews 6 then, because it fits in here perfectly. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, I realize that my more orthodox brethren teach this, that when you leave the doctrines of Christ to go to perfection, it is the same as saying that don't bother with the foundation. Once you've had your foundation built, go to the superstructure. It is my understanding in the Word of God that doesn't say that. It says leave it. and not go to a superstructure, but go to perfection, because the superstructure is rotten. There comes a time when you take even the very doctrines, the basic doctrine. I'll read it out of the. Where's my little bookie? Oh, here it is, right here. You leave the whole thing, and you go on to perfection, which when that which is perfect has come, the gifts are done away with. 1 Corinthians 13, is that right? So therefore now, at the end time, it says it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, not just enlightened, but once for all enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift. Now Jesus said, some of you shall not taste death until you see the Son of Man come to the kingdom. That means to literally be into it with all 4 feet, because when you're buried, bud, you're buried. You're covered, you're dead. When you die, your hair dies, your toes die, your nose dies, your eyes die, you're dead. So when you partake, when you taste of the heavenly gift, you're right in there wallowing, so to speak. Made partaker of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, the power of the world to come, not if they shall fall away, having fallen away, which is the great apostasy. They crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh. And it says here, when they do it, they cannot renew themselves to repentance, to a change of mind. You'll never do it. You'll never change your mind again. You have. See, at this end time, you've got the Judas ministry right here on earth, right alongside of the true ministry of the other 11, so to speak. And they'll crucify the Son of God. Now, that's a whole sermon on anointing the ones of the end time, so please don't, if you can't catch my point here, I'm sorry, I don't have time to belabor it. But it's all in here, and it's identical to how Brother Branham preached it. Souls in prison. And page 37, he says the enlightenment is the final enlightenment, just the way it is in the Greek. Right down the line. He said also, they'll never change their mind again. That's repentance, and they won't. He said, they turn this message down, you put your ear to the door, it's all over. See? Right down the line. So, it's in here, what I'm telling you. And the end time, we've got to repeat in the chaff age. See? It happens. Now then, they would not go on to perfection. See? They won't do it. Now, don't tell me they don't have the Holy Ghost, because he's here for even the Judas crowd to dabble with. So, pardon the expression, but I got to use it. See? He's hearing his signs and wonders. But with this, there's a perfection. And when it comes, you walk over the signs and wonders. You're coming into a new era entirely. Now, but you understand that restoration came anyway, in spite of the chaff age. See? The Holy Spirit, as Brother Branham said, was unbound from creeds and dogmas the first time in 2,000 years. That's right. He was bound. So they had tongues evident. When I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, you know what? I said to myself, how come? I don't understand this. He's supposed to lead us into all truth, and everybody says different things. But I knew I couldn't deny what I had, because the Bible was a new book in spite of it. But I knew it wasn't that new. Boy, I beat my head against the wall, Brother Branham brought that out. Now, but you understand then that the Holy Spirit was loosed from creeds and dogmas for the first time in 2,000 years. We are right back where we fell from, to being a potential virgin of the Word. Because that was Paul's fear. See, Brother Ben, I don't feel like I live. I'm afraid I don't live too good a life. Well, you're not scared of what Paul was scared of. Oh, that makes me better than Paul. Glory to God. Well, hold it right there. Just show what you are. Well, Brother Dale, I don't have that great emotion. I'm banging on. Yeah, you see, you're not afraid where Paul was afraid. Paul said, I fear lest as Satan beguile Eve, so he should beguile your minds or corrupt your mind from the simplicity that's in Christ. See? Changing the Word of God. Now, this is what we have today. The Holy Spirit is now able, being loosed, from the creeds and dogmas by the revelation of the sixth seal and seven thunders. Now, you might not agree there, but I've got to say it as I see it. Question 129E in the books. That's what he said. When you're loosed, then we can bring the bride back to being a virgin. And what was the Holy Ghost given for? To reveal the Word. And to make us one with that Word. Now watch this carefully. We're right back where we fell from, potentially, to being a virgin of the Word, with the Holy Spirit coming in latter rain to bring forth into manifestation that Word to bring life, even the resurrection. What do you mean bring life? Brother, sister, look, I don't care if you are born again. Do you realize there's a bunch of us could go down that road in 15 minutes and be killed? But what about the rest standing here? What about us? Your body and mine is dead because of sin. Something's got to happen in here around which this new body can build. And they asked him, what is the mystery of the rapture? He said, you've got to rebuild around that Word. Not your signs and wonders and this and that and the other thing. I'm not against that. God is my judge. I'd like nothing better than to go to a hospital and empty it. Only for the glory of God, though. Otherwise, it just breeds condemnation. Why be a Balaam? It's enough trouble keeping away from being that. I'm not trying to get involved. I'm not saying people are Balaam, do it. I just mean, I'm illustrating. Now watch this carefully. The corn of wheat that fell into the ground has now come forth, and at harvest is manifesting many grains of wheat like the original. And we saw the original like grain of wheat in manifestation in the prophet, for the Son of Man was revealed in human flesh by the Spirit. He proved, he said himself, it proved that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday and today and forever, proving that the Holy Spirit was here to bring about the restoration. See? Now, we are waiting patiently to see the rest of the weak bride whose virgin word manifest the same word at the bidding of the Spirit, for now she has the mind of Christ and knows what to do. This will be evident when the squeeze comes down. How many months does it take before a woman shows pregnancy? Some women can get by all but the whole time. 4 months, 5, 6, and 7. People go down the street and say, oh, she's not pregnant, she's not pregnant, she's not pregnant. Hold her. She is pregnant. Nobody's got the token, nobody's got the token, nobody's got the token. Hold it. Squeeze hasn't come down. Well, I just quote what the prophet said. I'm not going to run with one thing and say, well, nobody's got it because I've got my ideas. I want his ideas.
Amen.
God is my judge. I want every idea brought into subjection with his. And I've never found him wrong in one place if I just wait and watch those apparent contradictions. Apparent my foot. They work out. I just hope I keep enough sensibility to keep this tongue quiet and what I think doesn't quite gel in the message. And then when I'm careful, I don't get embarrassed because then God just comes around in his time and says, see, it's placed over here. See? Don't try to place it where it doesn't belong. He said, watch that third pull when the squeeze comes down. See? You got to watch it. Now, then getting more pointed on the evening time token, the Spirit and the Word are one. In Luther's and Wesley's days, they were baptized into the body by the Spirit, for there is no such thing as bride without the Holy Ghost baptism.
Amen.
Would you consider that Brother Luther would be a church age messenger and not have the Holy Ghost? Oh, brother, sister. The seven spirits before the throne was the same Spirit in seven church age messengers bringing the Word in each age. But these were not ages of the Spirit. For restoration comes, and then that makes it the complete age of the Holy Spirit right back to Pentecost. He said, we've got to get back to Pentecost. What was Pentecost? Absolute virgin. See? And then what? Resurrection. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit through the prophet proved that a new branch, exactly like the first, had come forth again. It was restoration demonstrated to us. But the prophet died. See? Back to the Holy Spirit. It started that way, and it ends that way, and goes into the resurrection. Now, because in Luther's day and Wesley's day, the Holy Spirit age had not come, they were not responsible for the end time message. They weren't responsible for what they were given. See? Therefore, they could not be castigated and punished unto death. Names taken off the book. Cast into the tribulation. That's the only time that could happen, is Revelation 22, 18 and 19, which is at the end time. Because cast into outer darkness, and the plagues at it, is the great tribulation. Is that right? Well, that can only happen when that's going to come. So, they could not be condemned for adding one word or taking one word. No bride would do that anyway from the message they had. But remember, it's at the end time, there's restoration of what? The Word. See? Now then, the Holy Spirit's loose to bring the Word in Revelation. Now then, in this age, everyone without the token, just like it says in Matthew 25, will absolutely go into the tribulation and die, or into spiritual death, and their names be taken off the book of the record, of the book of life. This is Exodus 12 time. Apply the token, said Brother Branham, or die. Why? Because any moment the resurrection rapture could take place. And if you're from under it, you will die in the tribulation, sealing your testimony with your blood. That's why I get under the token.
Amen.
See? The token is the spiritually revealed word at this time.
Amen.
Which is the full revelation. The Spirit and the Word becoming one. And when you receive that, you baptize the Holy Ghost. And you receive the Word. You're just waiting now, day by day, line upon line, precept upon precept, for that Word to come into full recognition in your life. And when the squeeze comes down, the evidence will be there as the power. Now, this is the day, and remember Hebrews 6 said, this once for all enlightenment. Now, I'm going to read over here in page 380 of the Church Age book. Now, I wrote this book, but I told you, I wrote this thing on recognition of what I knew to be a problem in my own life. Now, before we close, I want to bring this thought. All along, we have been talking about the seed of wheat being buried, then sending up two shoots, then the tassel, then the true ear. This might make some wonder if we said the Lutherans didn't have the Holy Spirit just because they taught basically justification. It makes some wonder about the method, etc. No, sir, we are not saying that. No, sir, the Lutherans had the Holy Spirit. The Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Baptists, yes, yes, yes. Positively baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that. Now, watch further. We are not talking about the individuals or the people, but the age. A-G-E.
Yes.
Luther had the Spirit of God, but his age was not the age of full restoration by another outpouring like in the beginning. It was the same with Wesley, Booth, Knox, Whitfield, Brainerd, John Edwards, Mueller, etc. Surely they were full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, they certainly were. But the age in which they lived was not the age of restoration. Neither was it any age but the last age, the age of complete blackout and apostasy. As this age is completely blacked out and apostasy, so is the bride completely restored.
Amen.
To go into a resurrection. Brother Branham categorically said the New Testament first age church would have been resurrected, raptured rather, but it wasn't time. He couldn't take an incomplete bride. Is that right? All right, let's read over here. The Holy Ghost in 1959. Now we're at this end time. Now we're at the end of this time. Each man has looked at the end of his junction for the coming of Christ. But they had a lot to look forward to. The returning of the Jews. The flying saucers in the skies. All those things we see today. But we're at the end. We're here now. They knew the church was to receive power that would work in the church the same works of Christ. Because as the shadow becomes deeper and deeper and reflects more, you take a shade farther away from the shade, the least reflection you get of the shade. After a while, the shade gets close to the tree. The shade is the same thing. What is it? The tree and the shade become one. When did it become one? In William Branham. It did. We've got to identify a portion with William Branham. Not all the way, but part of the way.
Amen.
They're looking to do what Brother Branham said. One man, not long ago, in a meeting, staggered out of the room, praying out. Now, Earl, stop me if I quote wrong, because this is witness. The other room saying, Brother Branham's going to go. And I hate to tell you, but God, his mantle's going to fall on me. Is that right? Raise your hands. That's right. Prophet's mantle? I'm not here to cause a fuss, Brother Sister. Take me, Shane, here. Not here. No fuss. But look, Brother Sister, I get across this country, crisscross it, perhaps as much as any man living in this message. I know what they're saying and where they've said it. Do you believe William Branham's mantle is going to fall on anybody or any bodies? Oh, come now. You've got to have your own Holy Ghost identification. If you're a finger, you're a finger. Now listen, I can pull a hair out of my head and throw it away. I don't want to pull too many, of course, because too many done gone. But look, I bite my fingernails. And remember, the fingernails I bite and spit off are just as much a part of my body as my eyeballs and my heart. Now, if I'm a little old fingernail, let me identify as a fingernail. See, now, I had to make this point. I hate to be rude and crass, but sometimes it pays. If I'm wrong, God will judge me. I have no fear in my heart. I'm telling you one lie. They knew the church would see fire. Listen, he said, it's got to get closer and closer. And it did, until Brother Branham had the identical ministry of Jesus. And he said it 3 times in Daniel's 70th week. And another tape, which I just forget where. Now listen, the Spirit of God has worked under justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, the baptism of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost, and here it is in the last day performing and doing the very same things that it did when it was in Christ. What was it? The church in Christ has become one. It has become one. Now as soon as they connect together, that last link, she'll go up through the sky shouting. What's the last link? She's got to be changed. Up will come Wesley, Luther, all the rest of them back there. He that's first to be last. And he that's last to be first. Brother Bram's last, first one up. There'll come your resurrection. We're at the end time. Listen, that's what the Holy Ghost does. Now listen, the Holy Ghost by justification. See? Just a light shadow. The Holy Ghost by sanctification. A little deeper shadow. The Holy Ghost by baptism of it. A deeper shadow. Now the Holy Ghost by restoration of its very person being in here forming signs and wonders like he did at the beginning. That's glory. There it is. There it is. Now listen, brethren. Listen. All tables are full of vomit. There is no place clean. Who shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make known, understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from breast, from milk and drawn breast, not little babies, Presbyterian, Methodist babies, Pentecost babies, Lutheran, Nazarene. He wants someone's willing to get away from the breast and eat some strong meat. Here it comes. For precept must be upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line, here to there little. For with stammering lips another tongue like speaketh people. Did he not come speaking a brand new theological language? Oh, brother, did he? These weren't other tongues like some. You don't teach with tongues. You teach with your understanding. He was a teacher, a prophet. He went right back beyond the Greek of the Bible, the original. And he said a prophet was a revealer. That's what the very original meaning of a prophet is. Revealing the thoughts of God. To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is going to bring you in the millennium. Because there's a rest of the Holy Ghost, but there's a rest of the Lamb. We have never taken up that rest yet because that's 1,000-year rest. We're coming into it. That promise has been left. Israel turned it down twice. Now we will not turn it down because we're taking the promise having left it. What is our promise having been left it? I will restore, saith the Lord. Now listen. Yet they would not hear the Holy Spirit and prejudices. If it isn't just the way it came on the day of Pentecost, prophesied 712 years before it came, here it is on the day of Pentecost, come just exactly. He said it came back at Pentecost. It's come again, same way. Somebody said keeping the Sabbath day. I'm not rejecting making light of anybody's religion. Sabbath day and Sabbath of God is the rest day. Here's the rest day. This is the rest that you may cause the weary rest. That's it, amen. It'll be what? Precept upon precept, line upon line. Now, is a miracle precept upon precept? Is a miracle line upon line? Is power is line upon line? Is it precept upon precept? No. The Word of God in one place, he said, you grow up into it. How can you grow up into anything if you haven't got the seed in you? How can you deny the very seed that has been all the powers of transformation and then say, I'm going to get transformed out that seed? Can't do it. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What is he? The one that comes in you, gives you peace, your sign, your comforter, comforted, at rest, sealed. Listen, brothers, I'll tell you something. You know what my sealing is to me today under this word ministry, line upon line, precept upon precept? Every day this word becomes clearer and richer. And every day I say, if this isn't it, forget it. Forget it. You say, Brother Bale, that's the kind of a funny seal. Well, that's the only kind I know. I'm not budging. I appreciate what Brother Billy Paul said last night. He said, we're one of them. Which one of them? I don't care which one. Ask any one of them. They'll say, I'm on this. So you don't agree with me. That's okay. But I'm stuck in what I believe. That's a good sign, too. What if some are wrong? Still a good sign. What if I was wrong? Still a good sign. This is the rest. This is it. I'm not looking. No more wondering. I don't care what a man produces or can. You got them with clouds over their head now, lightning flashing and all the lies that go with them. That's okay. Misquote. No, I stick with the vindicated prophet. I saw him. Sir. I don't care if the sun lie rising here and shining there and doing this and flopping around. No, they can pop their sun's flopping around. My sun doesn't flop around. The sun rose in the east and set in the west. Brother, sister, it's over. That's why he said, I'm riding the midnight trail, not saying he's coming. He's already done coming, conquered. The word came. Conquered my heart. The minute I knew there was a message, I kept saying, get it out, Brother Branham, like these fellows with the token. I used to nudge Brother Branham, Billy knows that, and he'd go, don't tip your hand me. I'd say, Brother Branham, if a thing ain't worth preaching, ain't worth believing. He said, the time ain't yet. I didn't worry about any time being yet. Too dumb, too stupid. But that's okay for me. I'm no prophet. I'm no source of wisdom, thought, and knowledge. Let's face it. But I sure love to go where God had a pipeline. Brother Pipeline, Brother Branham.
That's right, brother.
See, listen, that's what he said here now. He said here, what is he? Now, it is a sign. The world knows something happened to you. What is it? It's a comforter. What is it? A seal. You're at rest. You have. It's your advocate. Something happened to you. There's something there to make an advocate for you, right quick, see, making intercession. It's the Spirit of God living in the church. Prophesied exactly what it would be when it comes. It would be everlasting, eternal. You can read more of it. More about the shadow. Brother, sister, listen. Did you catch what we're talking about, the end time and the token? He said the Holy Spirit was under Luther. What? Justification. What's being restored? Word. Luther, word. Pentecost, word. And now at the end time, the full revelation, the bride back to being a virgin of the word. In the little book, Spoken Words, Original Seed, he said the bride has got to become one with that word. He said, in order to be united with him, she's going to become one with that word in order to be united. And he said, when she has that word and knows what to do with it, she'll have thus saith the Lord. Now, brother, sister, we're growing into it. Line upon line, as he said in one place, you grow into it. You don't just say one statement. Many people say, Brother Branham said, I say just like Jesus said, it is also written. When the devil said it's written, I say it's also written. When they say Brother Branham said, I say it's also said by Brother Branham. Until what? It begins to drop in line. I believe myself, with there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever, that the Holy Spirit's been here for 2,000 years. He's been baptizing for 2,000 years. But God in his sovereign plan knew the church must die and then rise again. And we are in the process now of the final step, which is the restoration, which will bring us into our resurrection without dying. See? They without us cannot be made perfect. They've already got the guarantee because they die. Oh, thank God if we die. Thank God. That Spirit's going to raise us. But what about the people walking on earth? They've got no guarantee. There's a mystery. The restored word had to come. And in that bride is that restored word. And as Brother Branham said, flesh is becoming word, and word is becoming flesh, until word becomes word, until the bride comes right into that resurrection body. and they go marching off to glory, row upon row ascending there. Yes, brother, sister, this is my understanding. You can do what you want, it, but I believe the token is here. I believe I've got the token. I believe that token in me is my absolute guarantee that should I be one of those, I don't say I will be one of those, standing here to rise to meet him, as he said, in a human body, going into eternity, eating and drinking, Eve taken right back with her husband. Oh, the headship of that word, brother, sister. Don't you see it? Go back to your Bible. He said, in the days of the voice of seven church age messenger, every mystery for Christ brought into full view, behold the bridegroom. Didn't say you're going to be with him. He said, just behold him. Like he said, like Eliezer did. He said, here's Isaac. I want to tell you about him. She said, oh, I love him already. Can't wait to get to him. Well, he said, thank God you watered those camels. Because he said the camels that you watered, he said, are going to take you to him. Oh, I love that water of the word today. It's going to take me to Jesus in the flesh. Oh, he hasn't come here in the flesh yet, but he came back as that word. Oh, I know it sounds strange, but I've got my hope built upon this thing. I believe, as he said, that token, if that crimson blood isn't there, biochemically, I don't care about your circumcision. And he said in the book of Isaiah 28, chapter, my Lord, I wish I had time to take another hour on that, to show you how it is. He said, I'm going to annul your covenant of death. He said, I'm going to make your overflowing, your lives will wash away your refuge. And he said, the scourge is going to hit you. You say, we're not going to die. But he said, you are going to die. Millions now living will never die, they say. They say, we're under the blood. We pled our cause. Brother, sister, get under the word. Get under the token. Get under the token. Examine yourself if you've got the Holy Ghost. If it's line upon line with this word, you'll live and die in this message. Then you stand solid and don't doubt. They say, oh, Brother Vale, there's nobody showing anything. Oh, I know that too. I see Abraham. God visited Abraham. Dear old Sarah there in the tent, pretty backslidden. He said, you're going to have a son, Abraham. Ha, 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 said Sarah. Upper sleeve, you know. It leaked out. Why did Sarah laugh? Lied to God. I didn't laugh. Oh, but you did. But you're going to have a son anyway. I'm gracious. But he said, Abraham, hold it. Not quite as you think. At a certain season, a certain time. So I believe the night old Abraham goes to bed that night and wakes up next morning. Oh, he said, there's a new pain. Oh, there's a new pain. And she said, another wrinkle. Ain't nobody got nothing. No. If I'm lying to you and get a little bit dramatic and hammy up here, I'll pay for it. You show me one word in the Bible or one word that Brother Branham preached that said it was next morning they rolled out of bed after he rejuvenated. As far as I read my Bible, they were worse shaped the day after than they were the day that the God descended. Ain't nobody got none. Haven't they? What am I doing preaching? What am I doing preaching a man who hated the gospel and everything for years in his life? He was only tricked into coming because he sold his property and moved too far away and his wife would come. So he sat one night and he said, that's the first time in my life I heard the word of God the way it is. I believe it. He died with visions of glory, claiming the covenant for his son. And God gave his youngest son the vision of his father, young and handsome, in a white garment, walking in slippers, counseling him to get right with God. Of course, Brother Vail, you don't have a thing. And what do you got? What vindication? Brother Branham said the showdown with the bride was Mount Zion. I want to make that rapture.
Amen.
Perhaps some are saying, you ain't got nothing, so the people will be convinced. Say, well, son, if you're so wise, could you tell us? I'm glad you asked me. John, I hate to talk this way, but I'll meet any man anytime he wants. It's on tape. I'm not out for any fight. This, and I've not got a fighting spirit anymore, so don't think I have. But to be set for the defense of the gospel, I have my right.
Amen.
To stick with this word as I see it. I believe that Brother Branham was that last messenger.
Amen.
I don't believe there can be two last messengers. I believe the last trump gets the bride ready, which is Revelation 10 and 7. I believe it. I believe the last day Elijah was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not William Branham. Because he said, I will come down upon the mown grass. Rather, it says he will, which is God, come down. I will restore, saith the Lord. He in Revelation 10 and 1 is the messenger. William Branham was the pipeline. And you know what? As I've said before, there was just one thing between the body and the head. And I believe what was necessary was the neck. And I believe all the trouble lay in the neck of the body, because that's the last connecting joint. And I believe Brother Branham was Dr. Branham, the chiropractor. And he came along, you know, he made the adjustment. And most of them didn't like it. And a lot of them still don't like it. But I believe, brother, sister, that the adjustment, which was a restored word by the Holy Ghost, that we are in the age of restoration, that resurrection is right around the corner. And I have my hope in this word. You say, Brother Vale, don't you think something's yet to come? I sure do. Sure. More of the same thing. Sure. More of a manifestation. Yes, sir. Dear Brother Vale, would it be okay if you, God spoke to your heart and said, do such and such and so and so? Yes, sir. Brother Bram said, that's the way the Holy Ghost works. Well, what about that, thus saith the Lord then? He said the bride had. Well, he said it. He said when she was one with that.